Tampa, St. Petersburg, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel, and KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
There's a
Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time and live from Clearwater, Florida. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are so glad that you have joined us today. We are going to be talking about some very important things today and some things that are going to change your life, and that is what the Word is all about, isn't it? The whole goal of God's Word is to draw us closer to Him, to teach us, and to change us. And we are in the midst of wonderful change going on at Beacon of Hope. These are good days. These are exciting days. These are days where we are looking and saying, God, you are mighty, you are wonderful, and we praise you. So we are so glad you've joined us today, and we want to just share some of the wonderful things that God is doing. But in particular, we want to share some truths today that are going to bless you and change your life and lift you up. And so we hope you have your Bible. If you're driving down the road, we understand that's not possible. But if you're in an area where you can even tune in on the computer, the reception is excellent at tantalk1340.com or in the Tampa Bay area, 1340 AM on your dial. And so that's where we are, and we're here for the next 90 minutes, and we are here to share God's Word, and as always, to bring encouragement, comfort, and strength, and hope into your life by the Word of God, and that's what it's all about. I have very special guests on with me today. They are part of our radio team, Deb and Alice, who are now located in Houston, Texas. Are you guys there?
We are here.
We're here.
They said in tandem there. We could hear your echo. That's cool. That's cool. We're so glad that you guys are on with us today. It's been a while, and I know you've been very busy with grandchildren and holiday time and all kinds of blessings going on in your lives. Isn't it fun to have our families around us and enjoy that time together?
Well, it is. It is fun, and it is a blessing, and this Thanksgiving was a particular blessing to us, so and we may share that later, but this was just an awesome Thanksgiving for us. We had 18 people in our home on Thanksgiving Day.
That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, and a lot of cooking and a lot of good turkey making and all that good stuff, right?
and praise God for our daughters.
Yes.
They each contributed. The three daughters contributed in their own way. Two of them did cooking, and one of them graciously took some of the grandkids with her.
All right.
So have less people in the house to cook.
Well, that works, doesn't it?
Yes, that works.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's been a fun time, I'm sure, for all of you. And for some of you out there in Radio Land, a lot of you, I'm sure, have had a great time with your families over the last few days. And it's time to kind of get back to work tomorrow and get back to the grind, get back to our routine. And that's not all a bad thing after all, because we get back into that daily living. And it's during that time of daily living, though, that so many of us come up against difficult circumstances and issues and problems where we get discouraged. And, of course, that's never happened to either of you, right, Deb or Alice? You've never had these times of discouragement or kind of disillusionment, if you will?
You want the truth or you want a white lie?
No, we want the truth.
Truth is yes.
Yes.
We have come against it.
Yes. It's common, isn't it? That especially,
very much so.
It seems like at holiday season, people have a rough time emotionally. And sometimes it's because, you know, they remember that a loved one has gone on to be with the Lord, is no longer with the family, and that makes it a hard time. Sometimes it's just, you know, just the anxiety of situations with families that can be kind of difficult for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, through all of that, we find that God is very, very near to us, and he's right there when we go through our hard times. Today's show, we're going to talk about difficult situations, but we're going to talk about the answer, and that God does have an answer, and it is found in what comes out of our mouths. And that's extremely important. Would you all agree with that?
I would, very much so.
Yeah. You ever have times, Deb, I'm just going to pick on you a minute, ever have times where you just find yourself saying negative stuff and wishing things were different in your life or whatever, and to the point that maybe you say things you wish later you could take back?
Oh, every day.
I think we all do, don't we? I think we all have.
I have a bad habit of letting my mouth write checks my body can't cash. So.
Oh, you want to say that again? Your mouth writing checks?
My body can't cash.
All right. So, in other words, you find yourself in situations that you wish you could reverse what you just said. You wish you could reverse maybe what you did. And that's what a lot of us feel. And it seems like at holiday times, maybe it's even worse when you have family members around and things are said maybe that hurt each other. And maybe there are tough situations. And there might be some listeners today that have been going through some rough experiences the last few days. I don't know. We're going to talk about some of that, and we're going to talk about the answers today. And we're going to talk about the need for prayer in our life. And how about that? Alice, are you there?
I'm here.
Alice, you are our prayer chairman, our team leader of prayer. What does that mean to you, and how important is that to you?
Well, it's very important to me. It's a big responsibility. It's important to that people have a place that they know that they can go and they can say, hey, I need prayer. I need help in this situation.
Right.
And that people are going to, they know that a prayer is going to get out and that people are going to be praying with them for a certain situation.
You know, I so agree. And, you know, that we feel like this is a vital part of the ministry at Beacon of Hope, because it goes not just in the Tampa Bay area. In fact, it goes all over the world, you know, as far as where people have a need, they call in, they write, and we have a prayer team that responds, right, Alice?
Oh, yes, definitely. I don't know how many people exactly, but there's quite a few people on the list that are getting these prayer requests.
Right.
And it's the good thing is that, you know, when a prayer request comes in, I'll send it out and I'll send a prayer along with it. And the amazing thing is that we're all agreeing on the same prayer.
Oh, my.
And we're all in agreement. And it may be, you know, somebody may not get the email because, they only check emails at home or whatever. So, you know, a prayer request may go out in the middle of the day, and some people are praying. And then later that night, people get home, and they read their emails, and they start praying about it. And so it's like, you know, there's this continual prayer happening.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
This situation.
Oh, absolutely. It's powerful. And our email address is, why don't you give that? And then we'll talk more about that whole part of our ministry in a little while. But go ahead, Alice, and give them a address where they can join the prayer team and or send a request.
Yeah, the email address is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
All right. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. They can join the prayer team, can they not?
Yes, they can. They can say, hey, put me on the list to get the prayer so I can pray along with you guys. Or, you know, hey, we need prayer for this situation. Or, hey, this prayer was answered, and here's the praise report.
Absolutely.
We get all those sent out.
We get them all. All right. Well, you two hang with me. I want to give an intro here to what this first song that we're going to do and talk a little bit about that. And then you guys join me again after the song, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's go to Psalm 42. And this is an important psalm, in about in the middle of your Bible. because it really relates to how a lot of us feel, maybe not just at holiday times, but many times in our lives. And verse 5 of Psalm 42 says this. The psalmist says, "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues?" Now, I teach out of the Message Bible, so that is like down to earth with how we would say this, right? I'll read that again. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul, and why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again." That's the clue right there. Fix my eyes on God. And I'm going to ask you guys to talk about that when you come back on. Soon I'll be praising God. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. Verse 6 of Psalm 42 says this. "When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you." That is a huge clue as to what to do when you are discouraged and defeated. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. And then the psalmist goes on to talk about how great God is. And then down to verse 11, it says this of Psalm 42. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul?" Now he's talking to himself, you know. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again." And that is what it is all about. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. There are so many times when we are very, very weak, and God comes through for us and puts that smile on our faces. And that's what we want to talk about today, and the answers to prayer and getting strength from our weak times. Listen to this first song. It's one of my favorite songs now. I've been listening to it a lot in the last few weeks. And it's all about his strength becomes perfect through our weakness.
His strength is perfect, so
again,
Song. I've just been playing that in my car as I travel around for work every day. That song is just lifting me up. Go with me to Psalm 92. Deb and Alice, get ready to comment on this. Psalm 92. And here's what the psalmist says. What a beautiful thing to give thanks. What a beautiful thing, God, to give thanks, to sing an anthem to you, the high God. Now, it's Thanksgiving time. We've been giving thanks. People are accustomed to hearing all about the importance of saying thank you to God or thank you to each other. I want to emphasize today that a big part of this giving of thanks needs to be in song, and there is a reason. There is a reason for this. That song that you just heard, He carries us when we can't carry on, okay? When we are down and discouraged, His strength is perfect when we are weak, okay? And so often, guys, we feel so weak, we don't even feel like singing. We don't feel like praising God. We don't even feel like giving thanks to God because we're weak, discouraged, defeated, distracted, on some other wavelength, if you will. The psalmist says in Psalm 92, what a beautiful thing, God, to give thanks, to sing an anthem to you, the high God, to announce your love each daybreak. That's getting up in the morning and saying, God, I thank you that you love me. I announce your love today. To sing your faithful presence all through the night. To sing, and if you can't sing out loud because you're afraid of waking somebody else up, you can sing on the inside of your heart. And this is what the psalmist is talking about, singing a song of praise. And when Deb and Alice come back here in just a minute, I'm going to talk to them about this because they love to sing. Accompanied by dulcimer and harp and the full-bodied music of strings. That's what the psalmist says. Now we're going over to Psalm 147, if you have your Bible. Run over there for a moment, and let's look some more about this singing thing. Actually, let's stop with Psalm 146, and then we'll go to 147. 146 verse 1 says, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, wherever you are, why don't you practice with me and say that word? Hallelujah. I love that the way some of our friends say alleluia. You know, that is just beautiful. Oh, my soul, praise God. That's talking to your emotions and saying, you know what, emotions? You're going to praise God. You know, I'm not going to allow you to be down in the dumps and discouraged. You are going to praise God. Singing. Okay, well, let's look at this next line. All my life long, I'll praise God. That's a decision, by the way. Singing songs to my God as long as I live. Singing songs to my God as long as I live. Now look down at Psalm 147, verse 1. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to sing praise to our God. It's a good thing. It's good for you. It's like eating your vegetables, you know? It's good for you to sing praise to God. It's a good thing to sing praise to our God. Praise is beautiful. Praise is fitting. And the next couple verses, and then I want your comments here, Deb and Alice. God's the one who rebuilds Jerusalem. And you are Jerusalem, by the way, and God rebuilds you. okay, who regathers Israel's scattered exiles. Sometimes we feel scattered and we feel pulled away from God and God's people. And it says here, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And I'm going to propose right now that one of the ways that God does this, healing our hearts, changing our attitudes, is through song. Deben Alice, are you there?
We are here.
You know, Deben Alice, we so often talk about thanks, giving thanks at Thanksgiving. We talk about we all need to pray before a meal. We talk about we need to be thankful, you know, an attitude of gratitude. But I want to take this show to a different level today, guys. And that is the level of actually vocally singing. Not just saying, thank you, God, but actually opening your mouth and singing praises to God. We've just read a few verses here, and I could bring out all kinds of verses that say to us, sing. It's a command. It's like pray. You know, God says pray, pray all the time, pray without ceasing. God says praise him, okay? But God also says sing. Wow. I want to talk about this. I don't know about you. Did either of you get blessed just now when you heard that song? His strength
is
perfect.
It reminded me of the blessing that I get when we sing in church.
Right.
And it also reminded me that no matter what kind of a mood I'm in.
Right.
I know I can at least turn on the radio.
Exactly.
And there's going to be a song that a lot of times I think, God had them play just for me.
Okay. All right.
And I will, if I know the words, I'll sing. If not, I'll listen and try and sing along.
Okay.
But, you know, I get up in the morning, and I'm not a morning person, and I stumble around the house and do what I have to do, and I get out in my truck to go to work, and the first thing I do is turn on the radio, and, you know, I have that little routine that gets me going in the morning, and I sing on the way to work.
Okay. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why don't you just sit there and stare at the road? Why
well,
do you say
that? I'd probably have a lot more traffic accidents.
Okay.
It helps to wake me up, but it helps to remind me that my situation may not be as bad as I think it is.
Okay.
And it also helps remind me that when somebody cuts me off in traffic, that I can praise God that I wasn't hit.
Okay, this is true.
I mean, it's little bitty things, and then I get to work and I stream music on my computer while I'm working.
Okay,
sometimes just for background noise, but a lot of times, you know, I'll sit at my desk and sing, and my boss, I hear him laughing in his office because he can hear me singing.
Well, don't you think a lot of people? I mean, the music industry is humongous, right?
Yes.
And the music industry is huge because people like music. They like to sing to songs. That's why so many, there's so many famous artists, right? They sing. Why was Michael Jackson so famous? He was famous for the songs he wrote and the way they sounded and how you can remember those songs, right? They're catchy, uh-huh. That you remember them. You may not remember all the words, but you have the general idea of what was being said. What, Alice, I'm going to bring you in here. When did you start singing? I want to talk to you about this. Did you grow up in a singing household?
I grew up, I guess we did sing songs. You know, my mom used to like to watch musicals like Sound of Music and stuff
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would, you know, sing along to the musicals and in the car, keep us kids occupied. She'd, you know, would sing a song or something like that.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't really start singing until we started going to church.
Okay.
And there was a lot of garbage going on when I was growing up, you know, in the family situation and all that. And I found that
some of our
the
listeners
songs
are,
that we would sing in church
right,
would make me feel better.
Ah, okay.
You know, and I think it would allow me to experience the emotions of the song in a safe way. if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you felt a connection when you started going to church with the singing because it did something to you emotionally. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And, you know, I could sing along with the song that was praising God, and it allowed me to express those emotions where, okay. you know, it may not have been safe to express emotions at home.
Okay. All right.
Okay. But this gave me an outlet to express those emotions, and whether it's a praise song or whether it's a love song or, it allows you to express emotion that you wouldn't normally express outwardly.
That is an excellent point. Let's talk about that in a secular song, because with secular music, people identify, do they not?
Oh, yes. Okay. We live in a secular world.
Right. And so when a song comes on the radio, any kind of, you know, Michael Jackson or somebody else song, so many people that hear those songs become important to them. They mark a day or a time when, let's say, they fell in love with someone and it was their song. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Or a special song. Maybe every time I hear Through the Years, I remember the celebration we had when my parents had their 50th wedding anniversary, which has now been about 14 years ago. But that was the first big celebration of their married life together. I mean, they had had other anniversaries, but this was special. Relatives flew in. My sisters and I did a big video. We did pictures of clear back, you know, when they were real young, when they were first married. Pictures of their kids and grandkids and all this. That song, when I hear Through the Years, I think of my parents. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's just an example to throw out there, okay? So I propose to you two that music stirs something. And you said it a minute ago, Alice, and we haven't planned this, so you don't know that you're supposed to say that, right? Tell the audience.
No,
you didn't know.
I didn't
this.
Know.
No. Because we just let the Holy Spirit lead these shows. But I propose to you that music does something that words, just saying something, can't quite do. And I want your take on that. So when you went to church, you were singing songs maybe and saying things to God that maybe you wouldn't have thought to say to Him?
I wouldn't have known how to say to Him.
Okay.
I wouldn't have known the words to say. I wouldn't have been able to form the thought to really grasp the emotion that I was feeling.
Okay.
But in singing the songs, it drew that emotion out for me and allowed me to experience that song, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Have there been times, either one of you can answer this, in a service where a song touches your heart and you cry?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Oh, yeah.
like all the time, maybe? You two are a bunch of babies, you know, when it comes to singing. You just...
Deb's more of a baby than I am.
You know what? I say that complimentary... Well, it's a compliment. Let's say it that way. I can't already say what I was trying to say. But it's a compliment because what happens is you allow God's Spirit within you to touch your heart through the words of a song, correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's the right answer.
Go
ahead.
We've talked several times about reading God's Word and about taking God's Word inside you, ingesting God's Word inside you. There's one song that really brought that to life in me, and that's the song, This Is the Air I Breathe.
Oh, yes, yes. That's a great song.
You know, God, the Holy Spirit, God's Word.
Right.
I mean, this is the air I breathe, you know?
Right.
And that song will bring me to tears because it's almost like somebody tapping me on the shoulder going, okay, remember I'm here.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's really funny because we have a granddaughter who's always hungry, always hungry. And, you know, I'm hungry. I need this. I need that. And I keep looking at her and telling her, no, all you need is air and water.
Right.
You know, and
right.
That thought came to my head when I was thinking about, you know, this is the air I breathe.
Yes.
Because God is our air. God is our water. You know, he is what sustains us.
And I so agree with you. And when we allow ourselves to sing about His goodness, His love, His mercy, whatever that song says. I'm thinking of that old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That is taken from Lamentations chapter 3. And the prophet Jeremiah wrote that because he lived that, you know? And the song that we all know as Great is Thy Faithfulness came from that scripture. You know, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And the songwriter, probably 80 to 100 years ago, who wrote that song, took that scripture and it just flowed out of that songwriter into lyrics and into melody. And I don't know about you, but even now, even though that's an old song, every time I hear that song, it reminds me of God's nature. Comment on that.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the amazing things is that, you know, there are so many songs out there that speak to everybody in a different way.
Right.
You know, there can be a song that someone says, oh, you know, that's great. It talks about, you know, God's love. And someone else is listening to the same song and they're talking about, you know, that's talking about God's faithfulness, you know. And someone else says, no, that's talking about God's forgiveness, you know.
Right.
And something that I found with me is that I pick up on different songs and I pull out of it what I need at that moment.
Right. Yes.
You know, if I need to feel that sense of forgiveness, then that's what I'm hearing in that song.
Right.
If I need to feel that sense of faithfulness, God is always there with you, always standing by you, then that's what I pull out of that song.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Let's get our Bibles and go to Acts chapter 16. I want to talk a little bit about something that happened to Paul and Silas when we come back after station identification. And girls, stand by because I want you to join me through this, all right?
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, joined today by Deb and Alice, part of our radio team, who have recently moved to Houston. And even though you two are in Houston, you're still an active part of Beacon of Hope, are you not?
Yes, we are, and we'll be there in 2 weeks, and we can't wait.
Yes, you will be here, actually, live in the studio in a couple of weeks. You'll be right here.
For 2 weeks from today.
So
yes,
that's
ma'am.
That's great. That's exciting. We're talking today, guys, about the weakness that we all experience in our lives through just normal everyday activities and things that happen on our jobs and our relationships and our families. But we're also talking about the times that are very, very difficult, where we have been perhaps misunderstood, oppressed, put down, maybe lose a job, maybe lose a house, maybe lose a relationship. And you're sitting there wondering what was that storm that just came through and knocked you down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Of course, you guys have never been there, have you?
No, not at all.
Okay. We all have, haven't we? Haven't we been in those times that were more than just a fleeting moment of discouragement? I believe that we've got listeners today that are possibly just up against it. I mean, you know, just up against all kinds of attack from the devil. And in Acts chapter 16, there was a time when Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, was really, really up against it. It started out as seemingly kind of a not a big deal circumstance that happened. In Acts 16:16, easy to remember, 16:16, on the way to a prayer meeting, a little slave girl began to follow Paul and Silas, and she was a known psychic and fortune teller. And by the way, those things are not of God. And if you're involved in any of that, that needs to be done with in your life because it only brings misery. But she was a psychic and a fortune teller, and she made a lot of money for the people who owned her. And she was running around behind Paul and Silas and yelling that these men work for the Most High God. Now, the casual observer would say, well, what's so wrong with that, saying that these men work for the Most High God? That is true. Well, where the problem comes in is that she continually kept this up, and she would interject and say all these things, and this just kept happening. And it became a distraction. It became a problem for Paul. And at one point in verse 18, Paul turns around to her and realizes that this distraction came from the devil. It didn't come from God. And so he turns around and he commands the demonic spirit that was possessing her to come out of her. And Paul says in verse 18 of Acts 16, out in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. And it was gone just like that. Now you say, why is that story in my Bible? Because of what comes after that story. Because Paul and Silas caused a huge problem in town. And because the owners of this little girl suddenly realized that she was no longer a psychic or a fortune teller, that she actually had been being controlled by the devil, these owners of this little girl went into a rage and they had Paul and Silas arrested and put in jail. And they caused such an uproar, and you can read this story later, but in about verse 21 of Acts 16, they were calling Paul and Silas names. They had the crowd turned against them. The crowd became restless, and you know how crowds can do. And suddenly they were all wanting Paul and Silas thrown in jail. And I'm in about verse 23 of Acts 16. The judges went along with the mob. Oh, so many people go along with the wrong voices, right? And they had Paul and Silas' clothes ripped off, and they ordered a public beating. Now, it goes on to say in the Message Bible that they beat these guys black and blue. I mean, they were raw. They were beaten up. They were a mess. They were hurting. They had to be in pain. And they put them in jail and under heavy guard, and it actually says in about verse 24, they threw them into maximum security into the jail and clamped leg irons on them. Now, in one translation in the notes, it says that these leg irons caused a lot of pain. We don't know if they had spikes that went into their flesh or what, but Paul and Silas had been beaten, humiliated. They were black and blue. They had to be in a lot of pain. They were sitting in maximum security, not knowing what was going to happen to them. They were sitting there confined. They could hardly move around. They had leg irons on them. Deb and Alice, can you picture that scene?
Yes.
Okay. Now, it says here that instead of sitting there wallowing in their misery, of course, none of us ever do that. It does not say that they were wallowing in their misery, does it? They weren't.
No.
They were not wallowing in their misery because Paul and Silas had long before learned that there was an answer when life is so hard and so unbearable. There is something that you can do that's going to change your circumstances. All right, I'm taking a breath of air and a sip of water. Deb or Alice, just give me your thoughts right here about Paul and Silas, where they are right now in this situation.
Well, you just said that, you know, when they were at the worst of their circumstances, there was something that they could do.
Right.
To better their situation. And I've said this before, this thought came to my mind, you know, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll do something about it. That may not totally fit the situation, but
that's a good
point. They were at the worst of the worst, and they had to do something to get themselves out of that situation, and they couldn't get up and walk out.
Okay.
So they chose to thank God for, you know, being with him through this and keeping them alive to be able to continue to do his work.
Right. they chose to shift their attitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't even say here that they were upset or sad or anything. It doesn't even, I mean, I think all of us kind of think maybe they were, because we think we might be. You know, if we were thrown into a situation like this, what would be most people, I'm going to pick on you, Alice, now, what would be most people's immediate response to a situation this incredibly awful?
I would probably be crying.
Okay.
I'd be upset. Why is this happening to me? This is not right.
All right.
You know, and just get that attitude that everybody's picking on me.
Right. Yes. Don't you think that's pretty normal?
Oh, yeah.
And that attitude leads down to the road of self-pity. And what does that sound like?
It sounds like it's not going to help anything.
Self-pity gets you into the point where you can dig a hole and almost want to just climb right into it, right? You feel so sorry for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when you start focusing on yourself and the problems that you're going through and all this bad stuff that's happening in your life, it's hard to see the bigger picture. It's
exactly.
hard to see outside that realm, and you get so stuck in a rut that you can't climb out of it.
Exactly. And, you know, and earlier we started the show with Psalm 42, where the psalmist says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? You know, why are you a mess? Why are you, talk to yourself, you know?" And the psalmist was saying, you know, you're really in bad shape here, buddy, talking to himself. Okay. And Paul and Silas, it does not say here that they went through any of this, maybe because they had already learned this lesson. That going down that road of self-pity, feeling like everybody hates me, nobody loves me, I think I'll go eat worms, that whole mentality doesn't get us anywhere.
It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't make you feel any better.
But why do we do it, Alice? Why is it that is our human, it is our human tendency, but what, you know, what propels us into that kind of a mindset? That's what I'm trying to.
Well, I think we, like I said before, we focus on what's immediately around us, our immediate surroundings.
Right.
We, you know, because it's right there. It's so easy for us to focus on all this stuff we're going through, all this negativity or bad stuff or whatever that's going on around us and has caught up. You know, caught up our emotions and caught up our lives, that we forget to take a breath and step back and try to, you know, focus on something outside that. And by that, I mean focusing on God.
Right.
I found that, you know, I'm like everybody else. There are times when I am just down in the dumps. I found that if I can focus myself on God, and I do use singing for that,
okay.
But if I can focus on Him, He helps me see the bigger picture. He helps me find the joy that I need to get through the situation.
Exactly, exactly. And I think our human tendency is to get down into the doldrums, you know, into the pain, the anxiety, the negativity. What if, what if, what if, what if that happens? And then what if that happens? And then what about that? And we can get ourselves into such a mess that we become extremely weak. That's the point I'm wanting to make right here. We can become so weak emotionally and spiritually just by going down the path that the devil lays for us.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay.
Yeah, I've talked about that before on the radio. That, you know, there was a time in my life for a good 2 years that I was, you know, in an extreme depression.
Right.
So much so that the doctors had to medicate me so I wouldn't hurt myself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know? And I, you know, at that time in my life, I thought that God had abandoned me.
Okay. And the devil wants you to think
that. And now looking back at it.
Right.
I know that I was so focused on all this stuff that was happening or that had happened in the past to me, and I was, like, you know, feeling a lot of self-pity and feeling alone. And even though there were people there that loved me or were trying to encourage me, I was shutting them out.
Right.
you know?
Because it becomes comfortable, doesn't it?
It wasn't until God, he was there the whole time. I mean, I didn't see him. I couldn't feel him, but he was there the whole time.
Exactly.
It wasn't until I started turning back to him and started talking to him and started singing praises again, even though I didn't feel like it.
Right.
That I was, you know, able to, like, that barrier started coming down, and I was able to feel God's love, and I was able to know that he was there the whole time that I was going through all this emotional stuff.
Right.
That he was there.
He was.
And, and you know, the power of the songs that I was singing, that I was forcing myself to sing because I didn't feel like it.
Right.
You know, it's like there's that one song about I bring the sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
That's what I was doing. It was a big sacrifice for me,
right,
to have to sing these songs.
Right.
I was doing it, and it was bringing me closer to God, and it was letting me know that he was there, that he loved me.
You know, amen, amen, and amen. Do you know a lot of people go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, for your diabetes, let's say, you need to take this, this, and this. And if they believe that the doctor gave them the correct diagnosis, they get the prescription, they start to take the medication, they start to feel better. And so it becomes a way of life. Okay, I know I need to take this. You know, I think we as humans we easily do that. But when a spiritual person or the Word of God says, look, this will change your life. Learn to sing praises to God. This is like I'm writing you a prescription, and I want you to begin to sing praises as often as you can during your day, and especially when you're having a very hard moment. Why is it people have a hard time getting that strength from the singing? Why is it?
I think some of it could be because people aren't used to it.
Okay.
It's not something they're comfortable with. It's not something they see other people doing.
Right.
They see other people going to the doctor and getting a prescription and, you know, the medicine's going to fix them.
Right.
You know, but... You know, and I was, when I was in the pit of despair, I was on medication. I'm not saying if you're
no.
sick or whatever, don't go to the doctor.
No, we're not saying that. No.
No, not at all. But God is a great physician.
Amen.
You know, and you have to remember that he already knows and he already has all the prescriptions to take care of everything.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
And to heal your emotions... You know, he's got the perfect prescription for that.
Amen.
You praise him, I can guarantee you, you're going to feel better.
Woo, we're going to come back to that. Listen to this song by Natalie Grant. You guys, don't go anywhere. Sometimes my heart gets weak. I got to find my strength.
Sometimes my heart gets weak. Sometimes my soul feels the edge of the night. Sometimes my will, my foolish pride, carries me far, far away from your side. And when I lose my way, I know I look to you. When I lose my way, you
don't know about you guys, but I just found a new song I really like. Did that speak to either of you, Deb and Alice? And if so, comment, please.
I was really getting into that song.
Isn't that great? That's Natalie Grant. That's one you two need to learn to do because you two sing. And I tell you what, that song blessed me. Because it talks about sometimes my heart gets weak. Sometimes I feel discouraged and defeated and beat down by life, you know?
Exactly. I was talking to you earlier about, you know, the holidays being hard and,
right.
and getting down in the dumps. And I've really turned to music a lot lately. And like I said, I was really getting into this song. I'm writing it down.
Isn't it great? The title of it really is To Find My Strength. And Natalie Grant is the one who sang that. And I just, as I was hearing that song just then, guys, it reminded me of the whole purpose of living the good life, because what we are trying to do on this radio broadcast is give practical insight on a weekly basis as to what we can do when we have these consistently hurtful times that so many people have in their lives. What do we do about the circumstances that try to defeat us? I want to go back to Acts 16, and then I want you both to comment on this, because I want to look at verse 25. And if you have your Bible with us, listening audience, here's what Paul and Silas did. They were in leg irons. They were in maximum security. They were black and blue. They were in pain. They were hurting. They had been stripped, humiliated, and beaten. And it says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer. It does not say self-pity. It says they were at prayer and they were singing. Now, the Message Bible here says they were singing a robust hymn to God. And it was not a wimpy little thing. It wasn't a, yes, Jesus loves me. It wasn't like that. You know what it was? It was an absolutely... You know, just an, and I would do this, but I'll hurt everybody's ears out there. But I mean, it was a robust hymn of praise. I will bless thee, O Lord. And I'm not going to haul off and sing like I would in church. But I mean, it was robust is what the word here is in the Greek. Now, comment on that, Deb and Alice. Why were they doing that?
I think they were doing that I can't believe I'm at a loss for words today.
That's all right.
I really think that they were doing that to even more so invoke God's presence.
Right.
Where they were, but I realize this is skipping forward in this a little bit, but, you know, they didn't try to to minimize the situation they were in by, you know, just sitting there and not doing anything. They tried to make the best of it. And I think it's funny how God puts us in these situations to reach out to other people.
Oh, yeah.
And
exactly.
And
yes.
It's not just putting us in situations. It's putting things in front of us to get our attention, to help us get in a better mood or understand why we've been through what we've been through.
Right, exactly.
And I really think that, you know, they knew that God was with them.
Right.
And they were thanking God for being there with them. But I also think that they were really trying to, you know, evoke God's presence even more, not so much for them, but for the other people that were there, the guards, the other prisoners.
Okay.
You know, because if they were sitting in the cell next to me and, you know, I wasn't a believer and I'm sitting there going, okay, these guys are nuts.
Right.
You know, what's going on? Why are they doing this? You know, how can they be so happy when, you know, they had to have known, the other prisoners that were down there had to have known, if they put these guys in maximum security, they got to be some bad dudes.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, and this kind of leads into what happens next.
Right.
You know, these guys are sitting there going, okay, what is their problem? Why are they singing praises to their God? Obviously, their God didn't help them out here.
Okay,
you know?
What did happen
they're
next?
They're going to say thank you anyway.
Right. What did happen next, Deb? Tell us what happened.
Well, as they were singing and praising God, a huge earthquake happened. And when that earthquake happened, all the doors to all the cells, not just theirs, all the cells flew open.
Right.
And all of the leg irons or the wrist restraints or whatever was restraining Ooh. Not only Paul and Silas, but all the other prisoners, they all just came open.
Right.
And
wait a minute.
Know,
the power of a song? You got to be kidding me.
Well, and that's why I say, you know, they were evoking God's presence.
Yes.
Because, you know, for anybody that really doesn't know what happened, then you're going to say, okay, well, they were evoking God's presence to open the door so they could run out of there.
They weren't saying anything about the doors. It just says a robust hymn of praise to God.
Right. But, you know, and so God answered their praises. You know, in my thought process, God said, okay, you know, here, let me show you how great I am. Let me not only, you know, make things better for you, but let me try to make things better for everybody else. But at the same time, this is one of those situations that may look gloomy to some, but happened because God wanted to teach a lesson
teach
to
a
other
lesson.
People to show his presence and his majesty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I propose to both of you and to our listening audience right now that there is supernatural power in singing versus sometimes just sitting and talking. That there is something that happens, that singing stirs our passions. Singing stirs something. Alice, I want your comment to that. Because I'm telling you, I think the whole thing here happened because this was a robust hymn of praise to God. It wasn't just a, oh, God, please help us out of this mess. Please, God, we're a mess. Oh, God, please help us right now. Oh, God. It wasn't that at all, was it?
No, it wasn't. And, you know, when Deb was speaking, I was trying to remember the scripture reference, and I cannot remember it. And but the word says that God inhabits the praises of his people, which
Amen.
Means he lives in that.
Yes, he does.
So when you're praising God, you're, like Deb said, you're invoking his presence.
Right.
You know, you're stirring up his power. It's an awesome thing, and as far as the emotions go, when you praise God, and you know, sometimes it is a sacrifice, like I said earlier, because you
right.
just don't feel like it. You're in a
right.
bad situation, you know, whatever's going on, and the last thing you want to do is sing praises to God.
Right.
But
yeah,
if you will make that sacrifice, because that's what it is, because
right.
you're doing something
it is a sacrifice.
That you don't really want to do. But if you will make that sacrifice and praise him and, you know, turn your radio on to you know, whatever radio stations in the area that there's, you know, some Christian music.
Joy
Sing
FM.
Along with
yeah.
that.
Right.
You know, for those of you that have TV and they have the cable stations that play music all the
right,
time,
right?
You know, and they have the Christian stations
yes, they do.
On there.
Yes, they do.
You know,
yeah.
turn that on. You know, if you don't know the song, just turn it on and sing along with whatever they're singing.
So,
you know, or you know, think back to a song that you've heard in church that you like or that you know stirred something in you, and sing that. You may not know the tune, you may not know all the words, but God gets the gist of it.
Alice, when you and Deb sing together, there's a song that, and I want you to sing when you come in a couple weeks. You know which one I'm going to talk about. The one about his name, the name of Jesus. Just say
yes.
the name. I want you guys to do that song at church, you know, in a couple weeks when you come. When you guys sing that song and I'm hearing those words about just say the name, it's a reminder. You could have spoken that to me, but when you sing it, it's that beauty of the melody that just hits our hearts, doesn't it? It does something.
It's the beauty of the melody. It's the emotion that's behind the song.
Right.
That comes out when you're singing.
Right, it does, doesn't it?
You know, you can, even if you just sing Jesus' name over and over and over again, the emotion that you're feeling, whether it's desperation or hurt or whatever, that comes out in that.
Exactly.
And that's a way of communicating with God how you're feeling and what you're feeling. He already knows. He already knows what you're going through, but he needs to hear it from you. You know, I keep saying that how, you know, the deal with God and with Jesus and all that is a ministry of conversations.
Okay.
And how, you know, in order to have a friend, you have to communicate with that person.
Exactly.
You know, if you
want
to make a new friend, you don't just like kind of wave at them from across the street and say, okay, we're friends now.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You walk up to that person and you engage in a conversation and you talk about yourself and you let them talk about you or about them and you share.
Right.
And even though this person or you know, whoever may know what's going on, when you share that, it brings you that much closer.
It does, right.
So when you share with God what you're going through, you know, and the emotions that you're feeling, and even, you know, even if you're angry with God,
right,
tell him.
Right.
You know?
Get it out there.
Get it out and talk to him and let him minister to you through, you know, through that.
What's coming to me is an old Bill Gaither song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
because
I love that
he
song.
Lives. Isn't that a great
that song
old song?
That song has helped me through so many difficult times.
Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. You know, and as I, so many times when I have not felt like singing, and I've made myself sing, and maybe that's one of the songs that comes to me, and as I realize it's because God lives, the words of that song lift me up. That's what we are saying here, aren't we? And this is what is happening to Paul and Silas. So, Deb, back to you. What happened to the jailhouse anyway? And it wasn't because somebody brought a forklift in or a great big bulldozer or because of something like that. What was this supernatural event that took place in Acts 16?
Well, my version talks about a massive earthquake.
Yeah.
And how everything just opened wide, but the neat thing about it is that nobody left.
Yeah.
I mean, even the other prisoners, they just kind of sat there. I'm assuming they were in shock. It doesn't really talk about them, but, you know, Paul and Silas could have got up and left.
Right.
But they didn't. And, you know, the neat thing about it is that, you know, they refused to run for their freedom.
Right.
Because they wanted to teach a lesson to the government officials.
Right.
You know, so that they could protect future believers by showing them, you know, you can't treat us this way.
Exactly. And tremendous good came from this experience. We're going to get back to this in just a minute. You're listening to Living the Good Life. Listen to this song. This one is by Aaron and Amanda Crabb, and it's called Strength.
Flesh has made me weak, and there is nothing left for me to do but to fall on my knees, beg you, Lord, please let them see you, not me. Let them see. What I know is true. deserve anything you have to give. You died and gave your life, so I might live. I will never understand why you stretched your hand, but I'll always give you
put on that strength, dear listener. You sing. Deben Alice, I propose to you. Here's how you do. When your flesh has made you weak, when you've encountered all kinds of discouraging and difficult times, when you're depressed, when life isn't working the way you want it to work, here is an answer, and it's found in God's Word. David knew this. The psalmist knew it. Paul knew it. Jesus knew it. It says Jesus sang hymns. The answer here is singing, 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 and then some singing.
Amen.
Whoa. Why? And I just throw this out at you. You can't be talking yuck and negativity and singing songs of praise to God at the same time.
That's right.
You know, you can't be doing both at the same time. You may start out singing praises to God, not with the right attitude. You may start out with a crummy attitude and feeling sorry for yourself. But the minute you start really meaning what you're singing, something changes. And I'm going to call it a shift. And I believe right now, and I say this prophetically, and I've been saying it for the last two or three services at Beacon of Hope, there is a shift happening. In this story in Acts chapter 16, it manifests itself as an earthquake. And all the changes that took place after that, the jailer and his whole family got saved that night. It was a shift, but it was triggered by songs of praise. Now, I want both of your comments on this.
Well, I've been thinking about a song we used to sing when I would go to church camp. I don't remember the name of it, but it starts out with, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and then all those around
yes.
can warm up to its glowing."
Yes, we sang it too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like it only took that little spark that Paul and Silas planted in that little
Amen.
Dungeon room by singing praises to God.
Yes.
To cause that praise to grow into something greater, which
Woo.
To me is that earthquake. And then the jailer was just amazed by what was happening, and it caused him and his family, I guess, to warm up to the glowing.
Yes.
I mean, that was the thought that was going through my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really hard when you're singing a song, even if it's a negative song.
Right.
I mean, a lot of stuff you hear on secular radio is negative.
Yeah.
You know, but it's you're putting your emotion into it. You're telling a story.
Right.
And even if that story is negative, what I would believe is a negative connotation, somebody out there is connecting to that story,
right?
Which is causing an emotional shift, as you say, in them, and it either reminds them of something that they don't want to repeat, or it brings back a memory to them that, you know, causes a shift somehow. You know, and I really think that a lot of the praise songs that we sing, you know, it's God's word.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Absolutely, that's what it is. We sang Psalm 34 this morning. He has made me glad, but it, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times. That is a song that's pretty popular. We sang it when you guys were at Beacon. But singing the Word of God absolutely does something for me. It changes me every time I sing songs that contain Scripture in it. You know what I'm saying?
There's the big local Christian station here does a thing every year. The day after Thanksgiving, they start playing Christmas music, and they play it for an entire month. And there are a lot of Christian songs in there, but a lot of it is Christmas music that, you know, everybody has sang since they were a child.
Jingle Bells.
The old Bing Crosby songs and just stuff that people who would listen to secular radio, you know, would enjoy listening to.
Right.
And while they're doing this, they do what they call their 30-day challenge. And they challenge people to, sure, you're going to listen to us for a month because all we do is Christmas music.
Right.
The normal praise music and everything that you hear on a regular basis on their station, they don't play it.
Right.
For a whole 30 days, that's what they do. And then they do a 30-day challenge, and they challenge people to, you know, on New Year's Day, when they stop playing Christmas music and they start playing, you know, the regular music again, they challenge you to listen to the station for 30 days and see if it changes your life.
Right. Cool.
And I love to listen to the testimonials that people call in to say, you know, I said I'd never listen to a Christian station, blah, blah, blah. I mean, a lot of these are people that don't even go to church. And how listening to this music has changed their life.
Right.
Has given them a different outlook on how things are.
Right.
And that's what Paul and Silas were doing. They were singing praises to God to change the situation that they were in, to let others hear that, you know, this may be bad, but we're still going to thank our God for this.
Oh, I agree. And I think this just spontaneously erupted from them, that this was so much a part. In fact, I propose this to you, Alice. I'm going to ask your comment on this. I propose to you that when singing praises to God becomes such a part of our daily lives, when we're in a mess, it naturally comes out of us in song and praise. Comment on that, if you will.
Oh, it does. You know, there's times when, you know, and anything can be, you know, happening, and you'll find yourself remembering a song and singing that song and praising God before you even realize that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I found myself in the car. Sometimes, you know, I've been through such a tough day. I'll turn off the radio. I just want silence.
Yes.
You know,
me too.
I don't want phone calls. I just want silence.
Happens to me all the time.
And so, you know, I've got an hour and a half drive home.
Uh-huh.
So I'm driving home in relative silence, except for the traffic noise.
Right.
And I find myself, instead of, you know, reviewing what happened throughout the day, I find these songs of praise coming up in my spirit.
Yes, that's what I'm
and
talking about.
And then I find myself singing along to whatever it is God's given me to sing along to that day.
Yes.
You know, and I, you know, sometimes I wonder, oh, I must look like an idiot driving down the road singing, but everyone thinks I'm singing to the radio, so that's okay.
Right. But what you're saying, this is the point I wanted to make, and of course we didn't rehearse this. I believe that the closer you get to God and the more you practice this singing in the midst of the storm, I'm not talking about singing in the shower, that's great too, but singing in the storm of life. As you begin to sing, because God ordained this, He made us to have a singing heart. Guys, I propose to you that God put within each human being a desire for music. Okay, that is why music sells constantly, why we have all these recording artists, why you have, the Grammys or whatever it is, the music awards and all of this that happens. It's because music is a part of who we are. God made us to be instruments of music, not to necessarily play an instrument. Some people can't, but most people can't, but to be an instrument. Comment on that, to be an instrument.
Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say to make a well-sounding noise unto God.
Right.
It says to make a joyful noise unto God.
Joyful noise, yes.
You know, so it doesn't matter what it sounds like to anyone else's ear, but it's going to sound beautiful to God's ear.
Amen.
You know, and
yes.
There's so much power in God's word. There's so much power in that. And, you know, like I said before, you know, God inhabits the praises of His people.
Yes.
And the word says that His word won't come back void.
Right.
So when you are singing God's word back to him. There's power in that.
Oh, amen. There is such power. You are exactly right, Alice, because when we sing what God has put down in the Bible for us, these words, like Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't go to work and you have to deal with situations and problems and whatever. You can't just burst out into a song in the middle of a phone conversation with a client. You know, I agree. But it's that attitude that's there that can just erupt. And I propose to you, Deb and Alice, this is what happened with Paul and Silas. I don't think they had to muster up a song. I don't think they had to look at each other and go, okay, what are we going to sing now? We're really in a mess. And I hear you're supposed to sing when you're in a mess. You know, I don't think they had that kind of an attitude at all, guys. I think Paul and Silas just began to sit there, look at each other and go, I will bless thee, O Lord. I think it just erupted spontaneously from them.
I agree, because, you know, when you're exposed to the songs, they get into your spirit, they get into your soul, and they're there.
Amen.
I mentioned about how when I was a kid, you know, would go to church and those songs that we sang in church really lifted my spirit and made me feel better and made me able to go through the things that I was going through at home.
Right.
But we quit going to church.
Right.
For a while there, and I still had those songs that we sang in church, and I had a Bible, and I went to my Bible, and I looked for the words to these songs because I knew that they were scriptural.
Yes.
And I highlighted them, and whenever I felt that sense of despair coming on when I was a kid, you know, I could flip open my Bible. I said, oh, there's a song. Let me sing that one, you know, and I would sing these songs and they would make me feel so much better.
Amen.
You know, and I know that that was God's word working in my life, working on my heart, working on my emotions to, you know, get me where he needed me to be so that I could do what he needed me to do.
Amen. Tell me, Deb and Alice, what happens to you when I sing this little song, besides the fact that you're going, don't sing, Pastor, don't. But what happens when I sing this? Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. What happens?
I smile.
I smile.
You do?
Yeah.
Where did you first hear that?
In Bible school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
as a kid, right?
Yeah.
For the Bible tells me so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when we get to the point in our lives that things don't look good, I'm telling you, listening audience, we got to start singing. Listen to this last song, and then Deb and Alice want your comments on the other side and be thinking of your final thoughts. You Are My Strength by Hillsong.
You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no.
reaches to the heavens. Oh, praise God for his love, his mercy, his grace. Oh, pray with me right now, and then we're going to have Deb and Alice come back on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the strength that comes to us as we lift our voices in song to you. God, we thank you that no matter what is going on in our lives, you are there. You never leave us or forsake us. That's what your word says. Lord, your word says that we do get stronger. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God, your word tells us to sing, to sing, to sing. It tells us to lift our voices and lift our hands and to praise your holy name. Your word gives us instruction and it teaches us to lift our voices and our hearts to you and watch our situations change. God, we just take this lesson to heart today. We want to sing during the hard times. We want to sing during the good times. We want to sing when we feel like it, and we want to sing when we don't feel like it, because your word says that it will change and bring a shift in our circumstances. God, we ask right now supernaturally that you invade the hearts of everyone who listens to this broadcast today live and all those who will listen to it on our website at a later date. God, let this message of hope and peace and strength come through strong, loud, and clear. That singing praises to you is the answer in our darkest hour. God, we thank you for this message today, and we give you the glory and the praise. Touch every listener and cause them to be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Deb and Alice, you're up.
I think what's most important out of all of this is that to remember that there is not a time when it's not appropriate or valid to thank God for the things that you have, the things that God has given you, because everything that you have, everything that you are, is because God has given it to you.
Yes.
Whether you are a believer or not, everything that you have
because of God
Almighty.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Even if you do not know any church songs or any praise songs, there are very few people in the United States, I would bet, that do not know Jesus Loves Me.
That's right.
And I would challenge the listeners today who may not be familiar with praise and worship music to find a Christian radio station and listen for 30 days.
Amen. Amen.
And really listen to the message that the songs they play are saying to you. Some of the songs are purely praise and worship songs, praise for God, for who he is, and for things he has given us. Other songs tell a story.
Right.
And that story may be your story and may touch you.
Yes.
And listen to the person that's singing that song, how, no matter how bad things got for that person, they were very thankful for what they had and for the experiences that they had lived through.
Amen.
And for God being there with them on the other side.
Amen. Amen. Alice, I'm going to ask for your final thoughts, but before I do, Alice, can you just sing that little chorus, Jesus Loves Me?
Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Little ones to him belong.
Amen.
They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Ooh, blessing, blessing. All right. Alice, what are your final thoughts
here? Simple songs like that.
Yes. Right.
It can just touch your heart.
It does.
You know? And sometimes that's all somebody needs to hear is that somebody is there.
Yes.
Somebody loves them. Somebody cares what they're going through.
Amen.
And no matter what, I want the listeners to know that Jesus loves them.
Amen.
And I want the listeners to know that the people at Beacon of Hope love them.
Amen.
And the people at Beacon of Hope are there for them. If they have problems that they're going through, they need prayer. They
right.
need to contact us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com so we
yes.
can get those prayer requests out and we can minister to them.
Amen. And, you know, we're seeing new folks coming quite a bit now, Alice. And
praise God.
We have a very diverse group of people, which I love. I just love that. And, you know, God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. And there are so many differences in our lives, but united, we are united around the Word of God and the fact that God loves us. And so that little song was very appropriate. So Deb and Alice, 2 weeks from today, you will be here live in the studio with me, and we'll have another great show. And of course, we're on every Sunday live at 4:30. Deb and Alice, my sincere thanks. I'm going to do a wrap up, and I will talk to you guys later. Okay.
God bless you, Pastor.
All right. So, dear listener, we're glad you join us every week on Living the Good Life. We are asking for people to join us as partners, and several have. And you can give a donation on a monthly basis or a weekly basis for the radio outreach of this ministry. We've been on the air live for 2.5 years. We're not a fly-by-night type thing here. We've been here consistently, week after week, live on this radio station. I think we've only repeated shows maybe twice in 2.5 years. But I tell you what, it's a blessing to be here and to share the Word of God with you. Join us on Sunday morning at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, Florida, if you're in the area, and check our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can find out all the details. Our ministry is global. We have just recently revamped the entire website. Our webmaster, Maxine, does an excellent job. Get on our website, check it out, find out about Beacon of Hope Ministries, how you can become a partner with what God is doing on the air every Sunday and in our local services, Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. Bring your Bible and a notebook and come and share with us. God bless you. Have a great week. It's always a joy to be with you. My thanks to Deb and Alice and part of our radio team. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister saying, God bless you. If you have a need, you can write me personally at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or our prayer team at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Tune in next week at 4:30. Gotta go. What's our final song? And it says this. It's not far to Jesus, and it isn't.
There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. It's not far. It's not far from here.